Welcome to Trinity Life Church Podcast Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy listening.
And I just think this morning has just been set up, I think, for us with just the songs and then just some of the messages that were coming through, testimonies. One of the songs has talked about Come As We Are. Another song was just taught, one of the lyrics was being an image bearer of what God is like and who he is. And then we've been encouraged to kind of look outwards and to the streets. But then it occurred that there are places that you can go that I'm not allowed to go. How many of you have got lanyards with company swipe, with swipes to get in and out of your company, out of your office? How many of you got a lanyard? Some of you got a key to your office that if I went in there, it would be really wrong, but you can go because you have got the authority of a key to open up your office. That is where you live and that's where we operate. And that lanyard, that and your swipe, that gives you influence because you can be there as, and we can be in those places where we have got authority to be. We can be something of God's reflection in that place. And only you can be that. I'm not allowed to go there. I would be arrested. I'd be wheeled out by your security people. But you can. And I just thought, could we just take a moment to just connect around where around our seat areas and just talk about where does your key, where does your lanyard allow you to go in the sphere of your life? So it could be your street, it could be your house, probably. It could be the key to your van, which is where you do your trades. Where does your trade take you? What office does it, you know, what sphere does that open up for you? And let's just take a moment to pray for one another in where that key or your lanyard swipe card allows you to go into, and pray for one thing that you'd like to, or ask one thing that you'd like your friend or person you're sitting near to pray for you for as you go there this week, taking what this we've said, God, we want to be influences for your good and for your spirit, where we want to be reflective of you wherever we are. So it could be Buntingford, it could be Royston, it could be London, wherever you do, it could be your school. Olivia, do you have a swipe to get through? Do you have a lanyard of identification? I know some of the sixth forms, if you haven't got your lanyard, they'll kick you off site. It's really like you've got permission to be there, but I haven't. And so let's pray for those places that you've got authority to be that I haven't. Can we just take a moment just to pray and say, God, let your kingdom come to those places and just think about the influences and the places we have. And then we'll have some shout outs of where some of those things are. So let's go right now. Find someone. If you don't know someone reach out to you. Emma shuffled along her row and prayed for a guy at her conference that week. Do an Emma shuffle and let's link up and let's pray for each other's places of influence right now. Let's go for it. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we see each other in this world, in this room on a Sunday, but we represent and we're in so many different places. And I think the trick is so much about being true to who we are. It's about being ourselves and being comfortable in our own skins to be who God has made each of us to be, with all our strengths, with all the great bits, with all our great bits of personality. Yes, we know with some of our marred bits of image that God's still working on. God says, come as you are, as your total package, as you are at the moment, and come and be yourself with me and to shine, let that shine. And even in our brokenness, God has got so much good that he can do through us. And, you know, we have expectations upon ourselves, upon other people, that they should be a certain way. But you will remember the story of, David as that shepherd boy. And Israel were trembling at the time about this formidable opposition and opponent in the form of Goliath. And the armies of Saul, not Herod, Saul were lined up and quaking in their boots, thinking, are we enough? Have we got what it's going to take? And they didn't really believe they had until this unexpected upstart comes from the sheep fields with a sling and a couple of pebbles and says, what's this issue? Who's this problem? Who's this one that dares to defy, you know, the living God, the God of Israel? Who does he think he is? And he was just completely himself. He was coming out of who God had made him to be, fighting lions, protecting his sheep from bears. And God had formed something in him in the secret place that was going to be enough to be who he needed to be in that context. And then, if you remember, they were really unsure about letting this young teen, would it be in a teenager probably, maybe in his early 20s perhaps, to go out on behalf of the people of Israel to fight this formidable opponent. And they said, come on, no, your pebbles and your sling really are not going to be enough. Just try, look, we'd like to give you some armor. And so they were in the tent, in a fairly safe place before. It wasn't in the arena of battle. It was behind the safe lines. And he was trying out, so like, just try out Saul's, here's the armor. You need to do this. This is what you should be like. This is how you should do it. And they were like, putting on. And he was like trying out this armor. And he was like, clonk, clonk, clonk. He's like, there's no way I'm going to take this man out like this. And he's like, do you know what? I've got to be myself. I have just got to be true to who God has made me to be. And if I go out in that armor, I'm not going to have a clue what I'm doing. And I'm probably not going to be able to do the job. But if I can take this little, seemingly insufficient piece of equipment, but I know how to use this. I'm comfortable. This is in my comfort God zone right now. We're going to do this. And do you know what? God knew that was enough. God knows that you are enough for what he wants you to do and to be wherever God has placed you to be. And do you know what? God's saying to you, not just as an individual, but as a church, you are enough for what God wants to do. You are enough for what God wants to do in Buntingford, what God wants to do here in Royston, in your street. And it's enough because if we give ourselves to him and of his availability, he can be that extra bit that we aren't. But he is looking for that availability for us to use him. And, and that's so important because I think we need to be equipped for the life journey that God has called us to, and knowing who we are and being true to who we are is such an important starting point. So I'm from Huntingdon Community Church, and we are part of the same family of churches, so we feel related to you as TLC. We're a couple of streets away in our region. And over this last year, we've been saying, God, who is it you've made us to be? And we've been saying, yeah, God, we want to be Jesus. We want to be centered on you. We want to be relationally connected. We want to be community focused. And we're passionate about transforming. And we didn't really have much of a clue about what we were. We kind of were it, but couldn't describe ourselves to anyone else. And so we've just been kind of playing around with this and feel excited as a fellowship, as a church, that we know what some of our pebbles are. And I'm excited about, for yourselves, some of the pebbles that you have got as a church, which is that you're passionate about being family, about relationships matter to you as a fellowship. The fact that you're passionate about worship and the presence of God and just, being able to come in this morning and just be kind of bathed in the sense of God's presence and just standing in God's courts and the music that comes out of your community. So we've been really blessed as the family, as the Ignite family, Plumline family, over this last weekend. So guys, musicians, thank you for coming and serving us. Your fingers are probably the blisters on your fingers having played for hours, but you've ministered to our network and that's come out of you as a church. church. And that's one of your gifts, one of your strengths. And you've got a desire for community. So much so that as the Ignite Network, I've created a website. Yes, so we've launched a website for Ignite. And one of the things that we're passionate about as a movement is enabling churches to serve communities. And if it was okay, I stole your photograph of Make Lunch, because that's one of the ways that you as a church collectively engage and serve your community. And I just thought that was such a beautiful... That's at the Black Bull, right? The old bull, as opposed to the black one, the old one. Yeah, that's great. So that describes that website a little bit about our passion and what we're about, which is passionate about seeing God working communities across this East Anglian region, about strengthening churches and about releasing leaders and influences wherever we are. And that's what we're passionate about. This region, we're excited about. And it's about getting behind what God's doing in small sparks in people's lives. And part of my work is, I love cups. I love your Trinity Life cups. It's really good. That's a cup for church. I came across another cup this week, which was outside of the church sphere, and I shared this yesterday at the conference. A lady called Elizabeth, she runs her own printing company, remarkable lady, and she, in her village, because I drive around villages, and I'm like, God, what does the gospel look like in a village? I drive across the fens and think, God left here centuries ago. And I thought, God, what are we going to do? Like, how's the gospel going to be reaching these places? And this lady, Elizabeth, lives in a Fenland village north of Huntingdon. And the other day she was like, Tim, I take my dog for a walk, and I keep meeting these people, and I kind of share. She's an evangelist, right? So she just oozes out what she is, and she talks to people, and she shares her faith, and she prays for people on her dog walk, and she's like, oh, there must be more than this, and then she had this idea of like, well, I've got a big dining room, I've got a big kitchen table. What have I got? And she's like, I know, I could invite my village on a Saturday morning for a cup of kindness. And so the other weekend, from a print company, she got these signs made up and this little logo. And the whole thing is an invitation to let us enjoy friendship with each other, kindness to each other, prayer for each other, and to meet with Jesus. And she's completely nuts. And so she goes around her village inviting people to come for a coffee and a piece of homemade cake. And people came. And so I had a follow-up with her on... But what was really interesting, and she's pioneered her own company. I went to a company, she's got 20 people working at Max and massive printing house. And she started this from scratch in her back shed like 20 years ago. Remarkable lady, she's in her 70s now. And she goes, Tim, I heard you sharing the other week in HD about community and about reaching out. And I've kind of got this idea about having this cup of kindness around my kitchen table, but I'm not sure whether I should do it or not. And she was like needing permission. And I say, Elizabeth, you can do it. And I'm like, Elizabeth, you just founded a company. Why are you asking me permission to whether you can invite your neighbors around? But sometimes we just need that encouragement to say, that little crazy idea you've got, do it. Go for it. It may just seem so small, but go for it. And, sometimes in life, I don't know if I've shared this with you guys before, but it came to me as just an encouragement for us today. If you'd like to take, I may not have enough for everyone. So if we've got like couples sitting together, you may want to take one per couple, and there should then be enough to go around. But sometimes in life, we kind of think that... That life is one straight path. And that's what I thought. I just thought ministry, when I started out at the age of 18, that it was going to be one month, 1 year after another of revival and success and development and vision and one upward trend. But then again, began to realize that actually, don't we all know it, that life, my personal walk, my church experience, ministry experience, serving God experience, wasn't quite such a straight line. It suddenly was that there were some dips and some obstacles, some twists and some turns, some terrain that required me to change the way I was, what I was using to get from A to B. I thought starting out with a bicycle was going to be what was going to track this nut. But then I realized when I got to the top that help, I've got a massive climb and there's boulders to get over. My bicycle ain't going to do it. And I'm actually going to have to put the bike on my back and I'm going to have to walk some. I'm going to have to start doing it differently. I'm still on the same journey. I'm still wanting to get from A to B. But how I started it with all my paraphernalia and my overhead projector and my guitar and everything, that's how I thought we were going to crack this. Suddenly, I get to a point where that's not going to work. Or you know, I started with this vision and how I assumed it should work. You know, they started out with Saul's armor. But actually, Saul's armor wasn't going to crack Goliath. It was going to be a stone from a sling that was going to do the job. And we go in ups and downs, and suddenly, this is not what I was expecting. And you kind of get to one level, and you think, oh, we've made it. And you get to that peak, and think, oh, my goodness, there's a dip, and then there's a higher peak I hadn't seen before. Oh, my goodness. And life just doesn't go in a straight line. And I'd like to share with us what I feel, perhaps, are three qualities for a life with God that we need for resilience and stamina to see through what God has called us to do, both personally and collectively as a church. And I think we need to start by knowing who and what God has called us to be, both individually and as a church. And second, and then out of that I think what is really important is that we remain true to that who God has designed us to be. And we've talked about David, who was true to himself. And in that, looking for reality. And as soon as we feel like we're beginning to become an act or a show or disintegrous to who that original thing is, that original passion, we begin to have a mask that isn't real. And God saying, I want you to be real to who I've called you to be. And stuff can jog us off track. And we're suddenly, well, actually, if I'm that, then maybe we'll see that result. But actually, we have to stay true. Even though it may look different in expression, we have to stay true to the heart passions and callings that God has given us and designed and wired us to be. Because if we start trying to be someone that we're not, we're going to end up disappointed, frustrated, and other people will just feel it's awkward. And so we've got to be ourselves. Stay true to that. But also we've got to stay real. John 4, 23-24, Jesus said, he's looking, a time's coming when people will worship him in spirit and in truth. Something that's real and connected with God, that people come and think, this is authentic, and we're looking for that authenticity. I think also Romans 12, 3, Paul said, be honest in the evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. Just as our body has many parts, each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. And I think it's really important that as an individual, as a church, that we are able to have a real appreciation of ourselves, of our strengths, of our weaknesses, being honest where we are. And so much of life says you've got to really work on your weak points. But I would say I got to a point where I was fed up with working on my administration. It went somewhere, and I much better I was. But do you know what? When I started excelling in my strengths, oh my goodness. And I said that I need some people on board that are really strong where I'm weak. We have just begun to go to another level. And sometimes we struggle on in trying to do stuff that we're just not gifted to be. And we have to have a fair appraisal of ourselves. But to know our strengths and to excel in those areas. Where's your strength? when you are alive in being who God's wired you to be, what does that look like? Where does that be? And are you flowing in that at the moment? And if not, why not? What's stopping you? Is it that you've got these these expectations on yourself that you should be this? When actually God's saying to you, oh, crikey, give everyone a break. Just put that down and just stay on track with who you're meant to be. Because actually, we're part of a body that there are other people that will be strong in those other areas where we're weak. And if we can all excel in our strengths, oh my goodness. Particularly in church as a volunteer organization, we work hard. I try to work hard as a pastor to try and get people volunteering in areas that they're good at, that they actually would like doing. There's some things that, hey, we've all got to do the washing up, right? You know, and unpack the dishwasher. Oh, sorry, Mark, is that a revelation? well, I think so. There are things in life that we may have to do that, you know, don't suit necessarily our main gift set. But actually, there's a big part where in church life, we want to say, hey, who's God made you to be? And we'd love you to serve in a reason that way. Because actually, then life becomes a joy. It becomes exciting. It's like, oh yeah, this is really great. I love this. I feel alive. And that's what God has designed us to be. And we need to be thoughtful and intentional about that. And there's seasons of life in that as well, where there's seasons of serving in one way, and that maybe things change and that needs to tweak and change. But we talking about that and having a fair appraisal of ourselves is really good. So when is TLC, when is Trinity Life Church at its truest self? When as a church do you feel the most alive when you're doing something together? Eating fish and chips together, worshiping together, serving the community. What is it? When are those times? And build on those things. Because probably if you're having fun, I used to do events that no one wanted to come to and I didn't really want to be there. Why? Why did we do that to ourselves? And then I started designing events that I thought I'd quite like to go to. And funnily enough, I realized other people wanted to be there as well. And I seriously remember running church programs that no one would come to. I actually did that. But now, we never run events now that we haven't got crowds of 60 plus at. Why? Because we are doing stuff that not only that we're passionate about, but other people get excited about it as, and we can say, and it suddenly becomes, oh, this is very cool. And people pick up that buzz and think, I want to be around this as well. And so, it's exciting. So when are you truest yourself? Some of our best creativity comes out of our places of limitation. And it's really important to know that. I'm a big out of the box thinker. I kind of grew up thinking you've got to think outside the box. Recently, someone disturbed that for me and said, forget that. Think inside the box. And that was a revelation to me. But actually, the place of your limitation and your confinement will often be the place where you'll begin to find your best creativity. And so limited resources, we think, well, I can't do that. Or actually, God, actually, with the little we've got, what is it we can do? And actually start working with what we have got, not thinking we can't do it because we haven't got what we haven't got. And what we think we need. But actually we start with what we have got. And that is really exciting. Think, actually, we want to do more with less. God, how do we do that? How do we become so true to ourselves that we're giving God what we've got that something dynamic can take place? And you know, creatives, we think they need lots of space, but actually with boundaries, great creativity can come. God spoke to Jeremiah at Jeremiah 33, 1-3, call on me and I will answer you. That came to him when his back was against a wall of confinement when the opposition was pressing in. And so stay true to ourselves. Secondly, stay persistent in that very thing. Don't walk away, but stay consistent with the thing that God has called us to be. God uses us most in the places of often our feeling of our limitations and our weakness. It's not always right to stay in the same place, but actually there's a lot in prayer, in other things where Jesus taught us persistence. Matthew 7:7, knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened onto you. And he said, just don't get bored and walk away, but keep on knocking, keep on being persistent. You know, even if it feels like it's getting tough, you know, find a creative solution, find a ladder to get across. You've thought you were meant to be using a bike, use a boat to get over the water. And keep on persistent and keep on going. And we heard that over this Leaders Weekend about the quality of keeping on going. And there are times when we have to evaluate, and actually there are times when a season's over, and if you don't know the season's over and you're still doing it, it can be awful. And we have to be honest with ourselves around that. But also, there's a calling in God for us to be persistent, keep on doing good. That's what he calls us to do. Keep on doing the things that are good and do not grow weary in those things. So I want to encourage us to not only stay true to ourselves, but to stay persistent in those things as well. Because God will break through, and you will, if you're seeking, you will find. If you keep on knocking, Jesus promises the door will be open unto us. And that is a promise that Jesus has given us for our faith and our life together in God. So that quality for life in God, keep on knocking. And sometimes it does take time to get a breakthrough. And you know, we have to sow sometimes before we reap. Sometimes success is on the far side of loads of failures. A yes can sometimes come after loads of rejections. Have you heard about that guy recently who kept getting rejected from work, from jobs? So he said, he hated getting rejected. He thought, I just hate it every time I don't get a job or I don't get accepted on an interview. He said, do you know what I'm going to do? He's got a YouTube channel. He said, I'm going to set myself up to 100 days. I'm going to do one thing a day that I know I'm going to get rejected at. And I'm going to do it for 100 days. I'm going to set myself challenges. So it would be a challenge like take a football, dress up in a football kit, take a football, go and knock on a door and ask whether you can play football in their back garden. And he would just set himself challenges like this every single day. And he would, another challenge was go up to a policeman and ask whether you can drive his police car. And just set yourself up to be rejected, have no's, and just grow in dealing with that rejection. So he was doing this, right? And then after about 50 rejections or something like that, people started saying to him yes. And so actually that one with the football kit and that, he knocked on this massive guy, opened the door, and he was like, do you think I could come play football in your backyard? And the guy was like, yeah, come in, have a go. And he was like, what, you actually want me to come in and play football? You're meant to say no to me and I'm meant to go and deal with my rejection. You're saying yes. So he got into the backyard and then he was telling this story. And he's like, and then I didn't know what to do because I ain't brought anybody else to play football with me. So I was just me in this garden dribbling this football. And the guy was looking at him through the window like, you weirdo, what are you doing in my garden dribbling this football around? But then the point is that actually, after 70 rejections, there was a law that actually people started saying yes to him. And now he's done amazing things because people are saying yes to him. And actually, you know, we had to keep on knocking. There's a point in this. Just keep on knocking because the door will be open onto you. And, you know, and sometimes they think, well, I've invited this person 5 times to come to a Christmas service. Keep on asking, because at some point you're going to wind them, round them down so much they will come. But you know, let's not give up when we have one rejection. Let's keep on going. And my last point is this: let's stay open. Let's stay open to what God is doing. And that's the biggest message. One of the biggest messages Jesus came with to the if you like, the religious scene of his time. And his disciples were like breaking all the rules. They were eating on the Sabbath. They were doing stuff he shouldn't do. And the religious people were getting well wound up. Like, you can't do that around here. It's not how we do things around here. You can't change this. It's, you know, you don't do this on the Sabbath. You don't do it like this. And yet Jesus was, and they were like, Jesus, why do you let your disciples break all our rules? And he's like, well, Jesus saying, look, I'm doing a new thing. And like, you can't just put a new piece of wine of leather on an old wineskin, but we need, there's a new wine coming that's going to need a new wineskin that's going to hold this thing. And we can't just patch up, Jesus was saying, we just can't patch up the old, but you have to be open to something new. And on this journey, like, if you're so forced about the bike is the way that we have to do this, you're going to get, that ladder is going to be well tricky. You know, but actually maybe a new thing's needed to get across this next bit. And having an openness of heart, open to embrace new wineskins, openness to be responsive to perhaps what God is saying in a new season. Not, you know, in that overall sense, we are on the journey from A to B. But actually, God, there might need, the way that we've always done it, you know, if we do X, da, and get so many results, or, you know, are we getting the results that we want from what we're doing all the time? And if we're not, is why not? And is it because we need to be doing something different to get a different set of results that we might be needing or wanting? And I think, you know, in life, we think, why aren't we breaking through? You know, well, because we're just doing what we did since the 70s, or, you know, I'm still living my lifestyle the way I'm living it. If I change it, I might get some different outcomes. If nothing changes, nothing changes. And so we have to stay open, say, God, what are you doing in my life? What do you want to do? And I want to be open to responding to you. And I'm not talking about changing everything every 5 minutes, or because we're bored, or because, you know, you've got an attention disorder, and you can't, you know. That's how I used to lead church. I used to, my team used to be just, you know, I'd go away on prayer days. They were worried what was going to happen. We began one way, and I'd go to God, and I'd have this whole new idea. I'd say, oh, guys, we're going this way. And then we go. And after about a year, my team sat me down and said, Tim, can you see this pattern? And I, can we have a bit of an overall sense of a plan of what we're building towards? That was a dawning revelation to me. And again, I felt constrained. Don't confine me. You know, I want to be spontaneous to God. Yeah, but if we're building something, there has to be some consistency to building. Are we doing the right things that are the right things in the right way for the right time? And God would want to be shaping us for that. So in our Christian lives, let's know who God has designed and made us to be. What are your strengths? Who's God made you to be? Do you know that? And are you comfortable with that? What's the shape that God has made you to be? And stay true to that. Secondly, let's be persistent with that. And thirdly, let's be open to how God might be wanting to use us in different ways at different times. Because the bicycle may not be the only way to get across what God wants us to do in and through our lives. Amen. A little word, but I felt it was a word in season.